Okay. I'm Marty Laufer here interviewing Carolyn Miller Cooper on August 29, 2012 at the Human Relations Commission office in Louisville, Kentucky. And Ms. Miller Cooper, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
Okay, for the recording, will you acknowledge that you signed and understood the consent gift form that I gave you?
Yes, I did sign it and I do understand it.
Great, thank you. Can you say and spell your name for the record?
Carolyn Miller Cooper, Carolyn Miller, Miller, hyphen, Cooper.
Thank you. Tell me when and where you were born.
I was born August 28th, 1965, Bronx, New York.
And you're not born in Louisville. How did you end up in Louisville? Kentucky.
I was born and raised in New York City, and when I planned on going to law school, I applied to law schools all over the country and selected the University of Kentucky College of Law.
And after that, how did you end up in Louisville after law school?
After law school, I actually left the state of Kentucky, spent some time in Europe working on my Master's of Law, and did some time in California. And then when it was time to grow up and look for a job, I ended up working as a public defender in Paducah, Kentucky, because I was licensed to practice law in Kentucky. After working in Paducah for close to a year, I then took a job in Lexington, Kentucky, and was there for about a year, year and a half, met a gentleman and became engaged, and he was from Louisville, and so we relocated to Louisville.
I know you touched on it before, but can you again briefly describe your education and professional background?
Yes, I was educated for the most part in the New York City public school system, with the exception of kindergarten. I spent some time in a Lutheran school. After graduating, I attended Hunter College in New York City, graduated from Hunter College, and did some graduate work at Hofstra University. Actually did a year towards my MBA, never completed it. Then moved on and did some other graduate work at Long Island University and Brooklyn College. I was teaching at the time, and so it was mainly education courses. And later on, attended the University of Kentucky College of Law. After graduating from the University of Kentucky, I went on to the McGeorge School of Law and got my master's in transnational business law.
Okay. And your professional background from
that, okay,
that you mentioned briefly before, but
okay. While in college, I worked for Bankers Trust Corporation. After graduating, I stayed there for a year, and then I moved on and became a New York City public school teacher in Brooklyn, New York for 2 years. While I was in law school, I did an internship in Madrid, Spain, for my second year of law school. When I graduated and worked on my master's degree, I did an internship in a law firm in Valencia, Spain. I then, upon graduation, took a job as a public defender in Paducah, Kentucky. Left there and then took a job working for the law offices of Shirley Cunningham. After working for Shirley Cunningham, I took a job working for Howard Robinson in Louisville, Kentucky. After 2.5 years, I left that position and took a job with the Cabinet for Families and Children in Frankfurt. I was there a short time before I was offered the job as Assistant Director of the Human Relations Commission. I then took the job as the Assistant Director in 1998 and was promoted to Executive Director in 2008.
Okay. How did you become involved with the Human Relations Commission? Meaning, how did you find out about the position and so on?
Actually, it was by accident. I was applying for a job with the law department, and just when I was sitting in the lobby, saw the advertisement for assistant director and applied for it. But at the same time, I was applying for the position in Frankfurt, and I actually was hired on in Frankfurt before I heard back from the city. And shortly after I started in Frankfurt, maybe a month later, I got a call offering me the job as assistant director of the commission, and I actually turned it down. I turned it down, and they kept calling me, and then finally I prayed about it because they kept calling. And I felt that it was the type of work that I was to do. And so I took the chance of taking the position. I really went out on a limb because at the time the administration was getting ready to change over. I was taking the job right before the election. And actually Jerry Abramson was leaving and Armstrong was to become the new mayor. And so when I took the job, I said, well, I'll do this for 6 months, and then I'll move on to something else.
Can you tell me, what date are we talking about?
I started in June of 1998. It was around the 28th or 29th of June in 1998.
Okay. And you've been here ever since?
Yes, I have.
And who was the director at that time?
Phyllis Atiba Brown was the director when I came on board as assistant director.
Describe your official duties and responsibilities with the commission.
Basically, to head up the organization, to be the public face of the commission, to interact with all groups in the community, to definitely, in combination with my boards, the advocacy board and enforcement board, to deal with any issues of a discriminatory nature. So if there are racial tensions, if there are religious tensions, if there are tensions regarding sex or sexual orientation, we deal with that. To try and bridge the gap amongst the communities regarding race relations, and also to deal with the day-to-day operations. We investigate discrimination complaints. We monitor the contracts that the city signs off on. And we also have a small piece, which is the citizen advocate piece, which allows the public to file complaints against local police officers.
During this time, did you take on any informal or volunteer responsibilities related to the commission?
Yes. I am very active in the community and on several boards. I'm active with the Metropolitan Housing Coalition. I've been involved with the Ann Brayton Institute. I helped to develop some of the curriculum for the Healing History Academy. Anything that's tangentially related to the work of the commission, if I'm able to work it into my schedule, I try to become involved. I've done things like given presentations and speeches to various groups in the community, worked on various committees, dealing with education outreach, with housing, employment, public accommodation, fairness. So it's multiple organizations or committees that I've worked on. I've also worked on the committee dealing with the violence in the West End, and I was with the community rebuilding group.
Okay, during your time with the commission, what are some of the key issues you've been involved with?
Definitely the one that bubbles to the top is housing. The second, I would say, fairness. And just in general, race relations. I've seen a shift over the years that I've been here. I've been here about 14 years. And when I first came on board, the focus was more on investigating cases and fairness. And unfortunately, over the last few years, especially since President Obama got elected, it seems as though racial tensions have been heightened. In addition to that, the anti-government movement that seems to be sweeping this country has had a negative impact on race relations nationwide. We see more incidences of blatant racism. The types of incidences that we see now 10 years ago would have been unheard of. it might have taken place, but it was very quietly kept. I also say that it seems as though there's more publicity because of the social media that is in place. So maybe 10 years ago, a Trayvon Martin case would have taken place, but fewer people would have known about it because we did not have social media back then.
How would you characterize the commission's relationship with community activists or social justice groups during your time with the commission?
Since I've taken over, we've made great strides at strengthening those relationships. There used to be a time where I candidly would have to say there was a disconnect. But one of the things that I felt was necessary was to build bridges and to close that gap. So one of the first people I reached out to when I was appointed director was Reverend Lewis Coleman, and we had a good working relationship up until his untimely death. I have a good working relationship with Chris Hartman, with the Justice Resource Center and the Kentucky Alliance, and with the Mental Disabilities Coalition. And we've made great strides as far as bridging the gap between African Americans and Hispanics and Latinos. And I've also made some inroads in relationships with the immigrant community, specifically with some of the African communities.
How would you characterize the commission's relationship with city government during your time with the commission?
I think we have also made strides in that area. At some point, my perception was that, it's the Human Relations Commission. Now people are beginning to, especially within the last year and a half, understand the importance of the existence of the commission. Unfortunately, a few years back, Metro Council listed the commission right above pools as far as priority. I believe recent actions and recent community stances on issues have made the community aware of the necessity of organizations such as the Human Relations Commission.
In your opinion, are there any governmental laws, acts, rules, and regulations, or common practices that you see as an impediment to fair housing choice in Louisville? And please explain in detail.
I'd say the zoning is a big problem. And part of what has happened is the housing went up so quickly in the 90s, in the early 2000s, that I don't think there was really a coordinated effort at looking at the type of housing, meaning the price points, and the individuals that would be living in those neighborhoods. Zoning has caused us to have a more segregated community. And hence the burn end falls on the school system because we're now busing children all over the community. So one of the things I would do was change zoning. If you've noticed in driving through Louisville, there are areas where people have houses, and then there are other areas where people have apartment complexes. You don't see a good mix. In other cities, you see homes as well as apartment complexes throughout the community. There are areas where you could drive, several minutes and not run into an apartment complex. We also need to look at providing housing opportunities for the less fortunate people, the homeless people in this community. It was a big fight when the homeless shelter purchased the old hotel at First and Broadway. A lot of people were upset. The public story was the college needed to expand and needed that space. However, the homeless shelter tried to purchase a school near the top of Broadway in the Lower Highlands, and that was met with a lot of resistance. So zoning is a major problem, so we need to change our zoning laws. We also need to look at the housing stock. We have an older housing stock. A lot of these homes are not energy efficient, and the owners are older, And it's difficult for them to go through and rehab these homes so that they could lower the cost, overhead cost for these homes. We also have communities where we have vacant and abandoned properties.